We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, and we finished Hebrews up through verse 13 last week. And in those first 13 verses, there were two principles. And the number one principle was that we are to run the race by looking at the example of the Son of God. And we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Think about that. You're going to the cross. You're going to take on all the sins of mankind. You're going to be horribly and brutally punished, humiliated, beaten. But it says, who for the joy that was set before him. And again, I contend that that joy was doing the will of the Father. That was the joy that he looked forward to. As you read through, especially the Gospel of John, you'll find out that Jesus never did anything apart from the will of his Father. The lesson there for us, okay? Don't get too caught up in the things of this world that we are too busy to do the will of the Father. Got that? Good. Second thing was in verses 5 through 13, we've seen the assurance of the love of God. And what was that assurance? That assurance was that if you are a child of God and you are dabbling, dealing, involved in sin, God is going to chasten you. There's no doubt about that. He's going to chasten you. And he does it for a number of reasons. Now, we said also that it's not always because of sin. We looked at the illustration of Job, and that wasn't because of sin. That was because God wanted to show Job his ways and his character. And it took Job about 40 chapters to catch on to that, but he caught on. And how long does it take us sometimes? You know, as a believer, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can serve God or you can do your own thing. You can sin. And that sin could include anything. You know, do believers take drugs? Yeah, believers take drugs. There are believers who are drug addicts. There are believers who are alcoholics. There are believers who are adulterers. There are believers who are robbers, thieves, frauds, you name it. But you know what? That rope around their neck tightens a little bit each time that God speaks to them and they don't listen. And one day, it stops. God gets your attention one way or the other. God will get our attention one way or the other. And you know what? There's none of us immune. You know? If you actually think that as a believer, you don't sin in some way, man, you are living in a fantasy world. You know why? Because he's going to go on here in verse 14 and verse 15, where he says, follow peace with all men. That should be a principle in our lives, to follow peace with all men. That means in the area that I need to make sure that my relationships with others are right. Let me ask you a question, okay? You don't have to answer, but just answer in your own heart, because I know what the answer is. I got all the answers. I'm the answer man. You got a question, just ask me. If I don't know the answer, I'll make up an answer. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She'll tell you that. Are there any believers in your life or that you know that you really don't like? I mean, you don't hate them, but you just don't like them. I have one honest man sitting over here on the side and one honest lady. There's always somebody. You know, there's always somebody. that rubs you the wrong way. He's always got something to say. Always has a remark to make. You know, just never satisfied. Always somebody else's fault. Never take any responsibility for themselves. Those people are hard to like. So what do you do about that? Well, see, the problem with most of you is that you just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So you just don't say anything. That's not biblical. You need to take this, you need to number one, ask God. God, I'm going to be honest now. I don't like that person. Rub me the wrong way all the time, griping and complaining. But the word says that I need to love him in Christ. And so, Father, you need to help me love him in Christ and be their friend. And then take and just lay out what the problem is, period. See? That way, you've asked God to help you deal with the situation. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Now, see, that's something that evangelical, biblical, fundamental. We don't really know a whole lot about holiness like the Pentecostals do. Pentecostals have a handle on holiness. You know, the scripture has a handle on holiness. Things that God wants to change in our lives that we don't want him to change, that we like. May bring us misery, it may bring us pain, may bring us hurt, but you know what? We like it. And we'll gripe and complain and sit around and talk about it, but deep down we like it. And that may be any number of things. Only you can answer that. But the scripture says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So how are we going to see the Lord? Well, number one, when you come to Jesus Christ, we are now in him. And since we are now in him, and he is the Holy One, the Righteous One, we have standing with him. And he claims us. He is our advocate. But we live in the flesh, don't we? And so it's a constant battle, day by day, sometimes minute by minute, of do I satisfy the flesh or do I try and put the flesh off? Do I mortify or put to death those things talked about in Galatians chapter 5? It's our choice. It's your choice. I can't make that choice for you. I can only make the choices I make. I can't make choices for my children. I can't make choices for my grandchildren. They're the ones that have to make that decision. But until we start taking individual responsibility for the decisions we make, nothing is going to change. Because it's so easy to blame it on someone else. It's so easy to blame it on environment. It's so easy to blame it on heredity. It's so easy to blame it on this or that or whatever the case may be. That's not the problem. The problem is us and the decisions we make. I'm not talking at you, especially this morning. I'm talking at myself. I make some dumb decisions sometimes. Every time I raise my hand, you see one of the dumb decisions I made. Someone said, what'd you learn from that situation? By the way, I cut my fingers off on a table saw. Okay? Very quick, efficient. I mean, you know, just they're gone. Someone said, what'd you learn from that? I said, well, what I learned was When God calls you to be a pastor, don't aspire to be a carpenter. Okay? And I don't. It's my decision. And every time I opened the refrigerator door and stuck my hand in there, you know what stuck out first? You know what hit the iron rail in there? My two fingers. But I'm telling you what, right now, they're tough as a brick through all that stuff. But you know what? Every day, it's there to remind me of the stupid decision I made that day. Well, no, there wasn't no well about it. Someone said, man, I'm glad I didn't give you a wood chipper. So I'd be like that, you know. So you understand what I'm saying? When you come to Sunday school and your child doesn't learn what you feel he should have learned, it's not the Sunday school's fault. They're doing what they can. They're the ones that make the decision so many weeks a month or so many weeks a year that they're somewhere else teaching your children while you're sitting in here. You could be helping out a little bit. They don't ask you to do much once every 5 or 6 weeks. But that's your decision, see? You'd rather let someone else do it rather than take that 1 week of responsibility. Decisions, they're ours. So he's saying, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one shall see the Lord. But look at the next verse. Hey, listen, you got to go, go. I ain't got nothing to do today, all right? Second verse, okay? Verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. The grace of God does not fail. Okay? The grace of God will never fail. But we can fail the grace of God when we make wrong decisions. When we choose not to serve God. When we choose not to obey Him. When we choose not to go the way that He wants us to go. Then we fail of the grace of God. You can't lose your salvation once you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But let me tell you something. That doesn't give you a free ticket to go and do what you want to do. Okay? Once you come to Christ, now you have the greater responsibility. You know, I did not choose to be a pastor. That was the last thing in my mind, was to be a pastor. Didn't want to be a pastor. Never thought about being a pastor. Didn't even go to church. And then one day, someone took an interest in me and my wife and led me to Jesus Christ and mentored me and discipled me and counseled me and took me with him wherever he went. And I got a love for people and for the Word of God. But you know what happens? James chapter 3 says, be not many masters or be not many teachers, knowing that you shall receive the greater judgment. My judgment, my responsibility when I stand before God, Jim's responsibility when he stands before God, the missionary's responsibility when they stand before God, is going to be greater because of the position that we've been given. And if I'm not faithful in loving, if I'm not faithful in ministering the Word of God, if I'm not faithful in being honest, y'all know me, okay? Y'all know what a turkey I am. Come on, go ahead and laugh, you know it.
Amen.
Who said that? My daughter said that. But let me tell you something. I've always tried to be real. That's one thing I've always tried to be, is real, is to be who I am. And I'm thankful that you guys let me do that. You never put me in a box. You never, you know, subtly said, well, I should be doing this or I should be doing that. You let me do what I do. And I appreciate that very, very much. And so I love you guys, man. I mean that. The 33 years I've been here, we had some tough times. Yeah, we had some tough times. But God has blessed. And you know what? Years and years and years ago, I believe this to be like the church of Philadelphia. God's given us an open door. That door is still open, and we're still using that door. And we better pray that God will never close that door while any of us draw a breath. And we'll never know the effect that little old Morris Corner Church has had over the years throughout the world. Now, some may laugh at that. You go ahead and laugh. But I'll tell you what, it's true. It's true. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's some bad news there. When you do not follow peace with all men, when you do not try and practice holiness, when you do not allow God to do the chastening work in your life that he wants to do, when you do not look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, when you are not in the Word, when you are not praying, when you are not sharing Jesus Christ with others, when you are doing your own thing, irregardless of what's going on in your life, you know what happens? You develop a root of bitterness. That word means to cut. It means to irritate. It means a jealousy. You have a root of bitterness when God is using Joe Smith over there instead of using you. And the reason he's using Joe Smith is because Joe Smith is pliable and willing, and you're stubborn and hard-headed and critical. Which one do you think God is going to use? Who would you rather be around? Someone who likes to laugh, someone who likes to have a good time, someone who can be serious when it's time to be serious, or someone who's griping, bitter, critical all the time? Who would you rather be with? If you say the griping, critical person, you must know them. You know, you must be friends of them or something. I mean, it doesn't compute. That's all it is to it. It just doesn't compute. What is so hard about having a smile? I went to Food City yesterday to get some things for Larry Hansen's world famous 555 dip, and went to the deli. I wanted to get something at the deli. Young man there, I'm going to say 25, 27, something like that, had a smile on his face, talking to the customers. I mean, just made it a really, really pleasant experience. Made me want to buy more stuff than I actually needed. I didn't. I strained myself. And then you go somewhere. I've been in places where you go in there, you buy something, you take it up the counter, people take your money, never say a word to you. You know what I say to them? I say, you know, friend, if I owned this place and I saw you treat a customer like that, you'd be going about 4 seconds, you know. How much does it take to smile, to say hello, how are you today, thank you, I appreciate, may I please have? Root of bitterness. In fact, the whole idea here is a condition of extreme wickedness or a bitter hatred. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 20, and you need to read that chapter sometime. I'm almost done, okay? It's kind of a long chapter, but in that, God is giving Israel blessing and cursing. And he's saying, it's your choice, guys. If you follow me, if you do not serve other gods, if you do not commit idol worship, if you do not practice idolatry, this and that and everything else, I'll bless you. I mean, I will, but if you follow after other gods, if you commit idolatry, if you practice adultery, if you leave me, then he says, the Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings which you have forsaken me. There is no excuse for any believer to be bitter, to have a root of bitterness springing up in them. Well, you don't know what I've gone through in my life. You know, you might be right. But let me tell you something. Who are you looking to handle the situation? Are you looking to try and do it yourself? Or are you going to let God try and do it? Are you going to let him take away the hurt? Are you going to let him take away the pain? Are you going to let him take away the sorrow? Because if you don't, you'll not get any comfort that will help you in any way to deal with that root of bitterness. Some of you have been through some really tough things in your life. Invested your life in a husband, and the husband left. Invested your life in a man or in a wife, and she left. Children don't want anything to do with the family. Some have lost everything they have. Some have gone through horrible and terrible sicknesses. Some have had friends stab them in the back. Some have been taken advantage of. Some have been defrauded. But you know what? If you take those things upon yourself, that's exactly what happens. Because your mind is consumed with the revenge of that person. I've told you, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. If someone wrongs you, if someone hurts you, if someone takes advantage of you, if someone abuses you, say, God, I'm your child. You sick them. And you know what? God will. It may take some time, but God will. Only he can give us peace. Only the Holy Spirit of God can produce that holiness in it that all of us need. We're so bombarded each day by the things of the world. They're like little tentacles that get on the bottom of a ship. And every so often you have to put it in dry dock and blast them off and repaint the thing and prime it and repaint it again and do all. We need to do that. We need to see ourselves as we are. And then allow God to do the work in us that he wants us to. 1 out of 10 pastors, 10% out of 100 finish the race, 90% drop out, and most within the first 5 years. That's sad. Now, if that rate is that high in the ministry, how about the everyday Christian? Who just has no one that cares for him, no one to praise for him, no one that takes an interest in him. Let me just say one more thing before I close. There should not be one person, not one person on that prayer list that comes out every Sunday that somebody in here hasn't called, sent a card, or gone by to visit. Phone call doesn't cost nothing. Stamp costs what? 42, 40, 40 some cents? do a postcard for 29 or whatever it is. Can you afford that? To let someone know, hey, you're thought of and you are cared for. One more note here. The root of bitterness springing up trouble yield. But you know what? Many are defiled by it. That's the problem. It's just like the lepers in the Old Testament who were put outside the camp because the leprosy was contagious. And that's exactly what the root of bitterness is. Contagious. Because it affects everyone around you. Man, let's put away with that junk, okay? Let's not be involved in that in that stuff. Someone offends you, someone says something about, go to them. They don't do anything, okay, God, they're yours. You take care of them. It'll work. It'll work. Beg pardon? I want to finish strong. Is what I want to do. I want to finish strong. I'm done. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for verses like this that just, you know, just reach out and slap us upside the head and tell us how much we still need you and how much we still need each other. And Father, how you long to just use us. Lord, let us follow peace. Father, let us strive to be more holy. Father, let us not fail the grace of God, because you don't fail. My God, please let there be no root of bitterness in any of us. That we defile others. It's bad enough for you to be defiled, but to defile others adds to your misery. Lord, thank you for this day. Father, we love you. We appreciate all you've done. And Lord, as we look forward to New Year, man, I am excited about what I believe you're going to do, not only in my life, but in the lives of so many others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.